Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott, and we are on episode 4 of our Relationship, Marriage, and Purity series. Hey guys, if you've been following along, then you know this is episode 4. Today we're really going to talk about being a powerful person in a relationship. But first, a couple things. If you haven't gone back and listened to the first 3 episodes, make sure to go back and listen to those. They lay a good foundation of marriage, and they also kind of share a little bit of our testimony in the last episode. And I have a lot of questions of people asking to hear Camila's side of the story. Trust me, I'm going to have her come on one day and share her side of the story. I mean, because from her perspective, some gringo comes over and all of a sudden starts trying to have these broken English conversations with her. So you get to hear her perspective from it as well. But I do want to talk to y'all real quick, just make another comment. Because as me and my wife were talking about kind of everything that happened when we were in the process of getting married, we started remembering a bunch of stuff. You know, I was supposed to propose to my wife when we went to a mission trip in Brazil. And so like a couple weeks before, I felt like the Lord wanted us to do that. So I had the ring and everything, and I felt like the Lord was asking me to do that. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to try to reach out to Camila's parents and really ask their permission first. I said, but if I can't get a hold of them, then I'm not going to be able to ask her in Brazil. You know, I wanted to honor her parents by doing that. So I remember contacting her parents and saying, hey, I just want to know if I could come over and just talk. And so they didn't get the clue. So they're like, sure. So I come over and there Camila opens the door and she's like, hey. So they thought I just wanted to invite myself over for dinner. So it was really awkward. I ended up saving the moment. And we didn't have a conversation about getting married, right? So I told my friend Tato, who was really helping me through this process. And I remember getting a little upset about it. So I left our wedding ring in my apartment with my roommate when we went to Brazil, because I'm not going to be bringing an expensive ring to Brazil. So anyway, I get to the airport and I tell Tato. Tato's excited. He's like, man, did you talk to his parents? I said, look, I tried. I really did. But it was the most awkward thing. They thought I invited myself over for lunch or for dinner, and I wasn't able to ask them. So, you know, my friend Tato immediately was like, what? No. He said, no, no, no. And he turns around, and I kid you not, there are Camila's parents standing behind us in the airport. He goes, you need to go ask them right now. And I was like, no, man, no. Look, I tried. You know, I told God that if he really wanted me to get engaged here, then he would create a moment. And he's like, well, I'm about to create a moment. And I'm tell you what, he walked off and he said, I'm going to tell him right now that you want to talk to him. And he just goes off, starts talking to them in a conversation. And he says, oh, by the way, Scott wants to talk to y'all. Obviously, I am like as red as a cherry. He turns around and starts calling me over there. And so I come over there and, man, I didn't prepare. Like, I didn't have like my translation laid out with all these sentences that I could read off to him. And so I go through and I fumble through this asking her parents if I can marry Camila, and Tato, he's a translator, so he helps me. And so it was really awkward, but they ended up saying yes. Right, as I say, they say yes, we start talking, they gave me a hug. I could tell they were a little unsure, but they just were trusting that this was the Lord. And then at that moment Camila comes back. So the problem now is I don't have the ring, right? Well, I didn't realize this, but my roommate was going on the mission trip, but he was coming a couple days after us. So I ended up phoning him and getting him to bring the ring. So when we were going there, we were supposed to go to when we were going to Brazil, we were going to a few really beautiful sites. We were going to the big Jesus statue in Rio, and then we were also going to Sugarloaf in Rio. And another of our friends had agreed, he was going to propose to his girlfriend. So we agreed to, I would do it at the Sugarloaf and he would do it at the Jesus statue. Well, we went to the Jesus statue first and he didn't propose to her. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, man, I think it'd be better at Sugarloaf. I'm like, bro, I didn't ask Camila. What do you mean? I'm going to be asking her there. So anyway, it's this big issue, and I wasn't able to end up asking her. I ended up asking her in a church service, which, you know, for us, I thought it was more fitting. But it was funny. Well, anyway, so we get engaged, and when I come back, like, you know, we're engaged now, and I'm over at her parents' house. I kid you not, every news channel, we're playing all these stories that were like, American citizen kills his Colombian wife, keeps her locked in basement for, you know, months. It was like three stories that kept coming out like this. So obviously Camila's dad's probably, he's getting terrified. My father-in-law is getting terrified at this. He's like, who is this guy? Well, I mean, anyway, it all worked out amazing. We laugh at it now, but we had some just sovereign moments of God in our marriage and engagement, and just some funny, awkward stories that everyone enjoys. Everyone enjoys a good, awkward story. But anyway, let's talk today about powerful people. Because here's the thing. In a relationship, you want to have two powerful people. And now, real quick, before I get started, I just want to shout out to Danny Silk, because I listen, a lot of the stuff that I'm sharing with you are things I learned through him that I listened to, man, back before I was even married. So if you want good resources for marriage, check out Danny Silk. He's got some phenomenal stuff. So a lot of the stuff you hear is just things that I've taken from him and grown into, and some things that I've kind of developed myself. So I just want to kind of give that reference first. But anyway, in a relationship, you want to be a powerful person, and you want your spouse and that other individual you're with in a relationship to be a powerful person. You know, God created you to be a powerful person when he filled you with his Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," right? So you don't have a spirit of fear. He has given you a spirit of power, right? Power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to walk in that spirit of power in a relationship. And now when we talk about power, we're not talking about your power to govern others. That is not what we're talking about at all. What we're really talking about is your ability to powerfully, your ability to really govern yourself, okay? And we're going to get into that a little more. But I want to read this first. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Okay, and so this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples during his Last Supper before he's about to be, first of all, betrayed by them, right? Abandoned by them, and he's about to die. And he tells them, he knows this. He knows all that this is about to happen. And he says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. And I am still choosing you. Even though I know you're about to betray me, you're about to hurt me, I am still choosing you." And in that moment, he invites them into an even deeper covenant with himself, right? So being able to make a powerful decision and understanding that you're choosing, like your decision to choose is powerful, especially in a marriage. Like, you need to know that you chose that person. You chose to get married to that individual, okay? You can't go down after a few years of being married and say, "Oh my gosh, you tricked me. You tricked me. You know, I fell into this. You tricked me." No, you need to be able to take ownership. You need to be able to take ownership of the fact that you made a decision and that you chose someone, right? You need to take that ownership. Taking ownership of a choice means you're a powerful person. You need to take responsibilities, okay? So even if you get married with someone, you ultimately make the choice to get married, and you need to take responsibility of that choice. Do not, if you try to put that responsibility on the other person, you've essentially given them all of your power. And you are now powerless. So you need to own up that you're right. I made the choice to get married to you. Or if you're about to get married, I am choosing you. That's a powerful thing to say. I am choosing you. Of all the other people out there, I am choosing you to spend my life with. That's powerful, okay? And don't ever give your power to someone else by trying to make it their responsibility, okay? Take ownership. Jesus said that while we were still sinners, he chose us. That means we were far from perfect. In other words, don't expect your spouse or this person that you're, you know, hopefully going to be married to, don't expect them to be some perfect individual that walks on water like Jesus. Okay? Jesus chose us while we were sinners. Man, he chose Judas, and Judas betrayed him. He knew it. So that's the thing. He still chose them despite the pain that he knew they were going to cause in his life. Why? Because choice is powerful, right? And he was a powerful individual. He was the most powerful person that walked this earth. His love for us does not depend on our choice of him, but his choice of us. It's the same as marriage. Your love for an individual should not determine on their choice of you. It should determine on your choice of them, the fact that you chose them. All right. Now, here's the thing, though. When sometimes you get in, you know, I talk with young people, and young people who haven't been in situations where people like them, like they don't really know how to handle it, because the natural response of someone liking you is to like them back, right? And if you just have a friendly person, like a friendly individual who likes a lot of people, that can be confusing for certain other individuals. Like, oh my gosh, this person likes me. What you don't realize is they like everyone. They're just a likable person. They're a friendly person. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say here is, you know, you can't enter into a relationship with everyone just because they like you, right? That's not how you need to live your life, and that's not a powerful person. What I'm saying is, don't choose someone just because they like you. Go through, listen to the other episodes that we've talked about in terms of how to help how to make better decisions and the right decision in terms of God's helpmate for you. All right, because there's a lot of things. It's a complex process. I wish I could just say, hey, 1 + 2 = 3. It's not always the case. So. One thing that I do, I do want to say this. Don't think that you're going to marry someone and they're going to make you happy, right? You're going to get let down. I'm just telling you. That's not a powerful person, okay? That's a powerless person. A powerless person needs someone else to control them and monitor them, monitor their happiness, monitor their attitude. Do not marry someone thinking that your life is going to get better. And you're going to be happy, and life's going to be all kittens and rainbows, right? Because that's not reality. I hate to say this. I used to tell my students this. I say, every concept you have of relationship that you got from Hollywood, from these romantic comedies or Disneys, throw it out the window. That is not reality, okay? For my people who like The Office, Jim and Pam, that's not reality, okay? That is not reality. Now, that's not to say that you can't help each other be happy and cultivate happiness in your marriage, but you don't need to marry someone thinking that, wow, this person is going to change my life, right? Don't do that, okay? You need to be able to monitor and control yourself, your attitude, your emotions, your joy, your happiness. That is a powerful person, okay? Again, do not give control of yourself to someone else. Do not expect them to monitor your happiness status or help you manage your emotions. Okay, you want to marry a helpmate that comes alongside you. You don't want to marry a father or a mother. Okay, don't marry your mother or father. You want to marry someone to come alongside you. Okay, so you take responsibility of yourself and of your decisions. And here's the thing. Create the atmosphere that you want to live in. A powerful person knows how to create the atmosphere they want to live in, okay? And the atmosphere you create will determine which type of people you attract. If you create this atmosphere around yourself where you're just, you have this dishonoring, disrespectful attitude, atmosphere, those are the people who you're going to attract, and people are going to come in that dishonor you and disrespect you. But if you create an atmosphere of honor and respect, you're going to attract people that honor and respect you. That's how it is. Okay, now, that's not to say that you're not going to have people try to come in and dishonor, disrespect you, but you also need to know how to create boundaries in your life. It's the same for marriage. You know, in marriage, you need to create an atmosphere of honor and respect for one another. You know, that means if you notice that maybe your spouse is coming to you with an attitude or an anger, then you need to be able to monitor that and be like, look, I know there's a lot of anger right now, but hey, let's take a break and let's come back and let's talk about this when we can both honor and respect one another, right? And that's how you protect that atmosphere of honor. And that's what you want in a relationship. So if someone, and here's the reality, this is the truth. If someone's angry, if someone's mad, if someone's yelling, if someone is trying to manipulate through, again, anger, yelling, pouting, things like that, then what's happening is that person is probably afraid of something, okay? That's what that comes from. Anything that comes from fear is going to man itself in that way. Love, however, is the exact opposite. You know, love and fear, they're exact opposites. Love is to the kingdom of light what fear is to the kingdom of darkness. And so when someone comes to you and they have this attitude or they have this anger, then you need to be able to be a powerful enough person to say, okay, look, I understand. Let's calm down and let's have, you know, let's have honest, open communication where we can honor and respect one another, even in our disagreements and arguments. Okay. And that's a powerful thing to be able to create in a marriage. This doesn't happen overnight at all. Okay. And emotions make it a lot harder to make those decisions. So don't allow emotions to control you. Remember, control your emotions. And don't live in reaction to what people do. Okay. Don't live in a reaction to what people do. And do not let people violate that atmosphere that you were creating around you. Okay, living in reaction, when I talk about living in reaction, I'm talking about making an emotional decision or an emotional reaction to someone's action in your life. That means when someone comes in and they're angry or upset, you turn up your volume and you get more angry and more upset. And then what do? They probably turn up their volume. Okay, that's if you're the actual aggressive type. If you're the passive aggressive type and you're just as guilty, what do? You turn your volume all the way down. And you just go somewhere, right? That's the same thing. It's just on the opposite spectrum. You're being passive aggressive instead of openly aggressive, okay? But it still is a way of you trying to get control and power over a situation, okay? And so here's what happens. When you have two powerful people, then you understand that I'm not going to control you. You're not going to control me. You have the freedom to be you. I have the freedom to be me, okay? People are their best selves when they feel free to be themselves. So that means I need to have freedom to be me, okay? And you need to have freedom to be you, and I need to make you feel that you have the freedom to be you. Now, anytime I feel that you're dishonoring or disrespecting me, then I'm going to have a conversation, set up a boundary, and we're going to say, look, I understand you're upset, but we need to have this conversation when there's honor and respect in the conversation. Okay, we need to have this. We can't have it angry. And so that's what you might say. You might say, look, I understand your respect. We should probably have this conversation later when we can both honor and respect one another. All right? So here's the thing. It's all about freedom. And when we feel that when we are afraid, we try to control people. Okay, pouting, yelling, passive aggressive, leaving the house, fill in the blank. We try to control people when we're afraid. And when other people feel like they're being controlled, they don't respond well most of the time, unless they're a powerful person. So as a powerful person, you need to allow the other person to be free to be them, right? And you need to make sure they know that you as well are going to be free in your actions and that you really focus on creating that atmosphere of love and honor and respect. So Proverbs 25:28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So, I mean, this is what we're talking about. If you don't have self-control, then you're just like a city that's being broken into and left without walls. Now, we need to understand the context that this verse was written in. You know, back in the day, a city's like internal environment, their atmosphere depended a lot on the walls around them that protected them from, you know, groups of soldiers or groups of individuals that would come in and attack them and try to pillage them. So if a city didn't have a wall, essentially it was in danger always, okay? And so what that means is anyone could come along, go into the city, pillage it, break in, steal things, and pretty much affect that internal atmosphere and environment of the city. So what this is saying is, like, look, if you don't have self-control, then you're just like that city. Anyone who comes around you is going to be able to affect your internal environment, your internal atmosphere. Okay, so you need to be a strong person who knows how to control their emotions, and you will be like that city with a strong wall that says, look, even though we're in the midst of an army trying to attack us, inside our wall, we're at peace and we are calm because we are protected. All right, so that's what we need to learn how to do and be a powerful person in that way. Powerful people have freedom to be themselves, right? And they decide and choose for themselves. Like I said, making a choice is a powerful thing. This, the fact that you're saying, I choose this. So when people understand that when you make a decision, your yes means yes and your no means no, okay, that's a powerful thing. So that means that when, you know, your spouse comes to you and you say no, that means no. Or you say yes, that means yes, and there's no wavering in there. Also, that means, and here's what's important, that means that when you tell your spouse, I love you, they know you're serious, right? I love you because I am a powerful person. I take responsibility of what I say and my decisions, and I love you. And that's powerful, right? So when someone tries to come in to manipulate you or dishonor any situations, you're able to say, hey, look, no. Okay? Now you do it in a loving way. You do it in an honoring way, but you're able to do that. Now, these are just some key concepts that really you want to help cultivate in your life. And I'm not saying that it's something that you're just going to walk into and all of a sudden you're going to be this powerful person. But what I am saying is that it needs to be something that we pray about. We need to pray about this. And when you say, Lord, allow us to be a powerful person, give us that spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind in our relationships and in our marriages. So those are just a few of the conversations that I thought we'd have for today. Again, this is episode 4. I appreciate you guys listening to my podcast. Look, if you like it, subscribe, share it, like it, any of those, man, I would greatly appreciate it. So we have a few more episodes in our relationship series, so I'm looking forward to talking with you guys a few more times this week. All right, guys, have a blessed day.